Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, because you are alive, we are. Because you are alive, our sins are forgiven. Because you are alive, we can have shalom. Because you are alive, we can have diversity, unity, purity, courage, faith, confidence through the trials and challenges of life. Father, I pray that today you are happy with our worship of you. Father, you are satisfied with our giving you attention and lifting you up and honoring all that you do. We love you. We ask that you would guide us through your word this morning and help our hearts and our minds to be refreshed, help them to be strengthened, help them to, Father, be aware of the spiritual battles that go on all around us. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The 1200, our church, our family, we believe that God is alive, and because he is alive, we want to do something in response to him being alive. And so we do have a mission statement. We have a mission statement. And most of us probably know it by heart. If you're visiting, we wanted to let you know our mission statement. We always want to come back to it. Our mission statement is what we do. It's what we do. It defines why we exist, our reason for being. We seek to love God and love him first. That's the greatest commandment, amen? We seek to love others. We seek to make him known. That's what we do. That's what our lives, we desire our lives to do. We want to worship. We want to have spiritual family. We want to reach out and bring people in. We also have a foundation statement. Disciples of Jesus, we desire to follow him, be transformed by him, and join him in his mission. Now, a foundation statement really explains how we're going to go about our mission. You follow what I'm saying? So, yeah, we want to worship, have spiritual family and outreach, but how are we going to do that? Well, we got to follow Jesus to do it. And we have to be transformed and changed in order to be it. And then once we become it, we join him on what he's already doing. We go, oh, that's what you're doing. And we join him. And God uses us to glorify his name. So in the month of October, we focused on the first leg of our foundation statement. We'll always come back to it. It'll be a revolving endeavor because we are human. We are sheep. We forget. And so we focused on following him. Who are we following? Who is the Lord? Who is the Messiah? Who is this Jesus whom we're following? And in the month of November, we focus on the second leg of our foundation statement, and that's being transformed by him. When you follow and have a relationship, you are changed. You become something you wouldn't have become without Jesus and without that relationship. This month, we're focusing in on, well, you know, last week was an awesome time of worship, and AP did a great job from Atlanta. We're focusing on the mission. Joining him in his mission. And today's title is a unique one. I've never used it before, but the hungry miss the mission. That's an odd title, I know. But we'll explain it. The hungry miss the mission. We miss the mission. We'll come back to that at the end. But I want to ask you a question. What is a mission? What is a mission? It's an act or instance of sending. It's an assignment. It's an operation. It's a mission. Now, let me ask you guys a question for you to answer. What is the mission of a disciple of Jesus? What is the mission of a disciple of Jesus? Yeah. Help make others disciples of Jesus. Help make others disciples of Jesus. You want to type that in? We're in class today, children. To help make others disciples of Jesus. Okay, somebody else had a hand up over here? Yes. To seek and save those who are lost. Not those who were different or those who are less than, those who were just lost, like we were. Okay, yeah. To serve. Okay, the mission of a disciple of Jesus is to serve. Let's go ahead and put that up, to serve. And serve, I might add, like Jesus served. Like our Creator served us. Yes. Help people understand God's love for them, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make mistakes. We may make mistakes, but we are not mistakes. All right? You get that? You get that, Justin? Okay, all right, here we go. Yes. To be ambassadors. Disciples of Jesus, the mission, really the operation, our goal is to be an ambassador, to represent Jesus. That's why I didn't go to church for 18 years, because I saw none. They were just like me. Who were they representing? Themselves. Then I met this freckle-faced African-American young man on FAMU's campus. I said, what is that alien doing here? I had to look at him like my Labrador looks at us. Try to understand. I've never seen a man who desires purity. I never saw a guy who was humble. Never saw a guy who knew the Bible and could pray like that. He was an alien to me. Okay, a couple more. Yes, yes. What's that? To share the good God news that Jesus came to die not only for the world, but for you. You, personally. That's a great gospel. Amen? Yeah, one more. To glorify God, to honor Him. It's not about our mission, and that's what I love about our foundation statement. It's not the 1200's mission. It's not AB's mission. It's joining Him in what? His mission. To glorify God in that. So we have that definition. Being a part of a reconciliation between man and God is the greatest mission a man or woman could have. There's no greater endeavor. When does one become a missionary? That's our mission, but when does someone become a missionary? Yes. At conversion, okay? At conversion. So Trudy just became a missionary. Okay? All right. Okay, let's who else has something to say about that? When do you become a missionary? Yeah. When you start the mission. Now an engineer just said that, okay? A psychology major like me, like, what? What? Great job. Awesome. Yes. When you accept the assignment, you become a missionary when you accept the assignment. Okay? Yes. Okay. when you have a mind change, that when you set that mind, okay, you become a missionary. When you understand the need, when you understand the need, one more, yes. When you're what? When you're assigned, okay, when you're assigned, okay, when you accept the assignment, when you're assigned. All right, now, I believe that all of those answers have some truth to it. But when I look at my life, I'm sure when you look at yours, we become a missionary when we are convinced that Jesus is Lord and Savior. When I was convinced that Jesus really did walk on this earth and really did die on that cross and 3 days later really did resurrect from that tomb, I became a missionary. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I what? Couldn't keep it to myself. I was overflowing with who this man was before I got baptized. When I was convinced that Jesus was the Lord and Savior, I became a missionary. Think about the examples in the scriptures. Zacchaeus, sinful tax collector, wanted to see who Jesus was, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. When Jesus paid him a visit over dinner, he was a different man. Gave half of his possessions to the poor, and if he cheated back anybody out of anything, he gave back four times the amount. I believe he became a missionary after that dinner. What do you think? In Acts 2:36, when they heard that the man that was crucified earlier was their responsibility, that he died for their sins, and this man was Lord and Savior, they were cut to the heart. They said, "Brother, what shall we do?" They became missionaries. In Acts 8, when the Ethiopian eunuch, after Philip explained who the passage he was reading was really talking about, "Give me some water." And I believe he went to Africa and preached the word. He became a missionary. Acts 9, Saul, who became Paul, was on that Damascus road. And when Jesus introduced himself to Paul, or Saul rather, that was the beginning of the making of a really surrendered missionary. Probably the greatest one that's ever lived. A missionary. Anyone who is convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the best news in the world, that he is both Lord and Savior, becomes a missionary. It's not about them inviting you to go overseas. You can go over the next neighborhood. If you're a missionary, you take them everywhere you go. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. All authority has been given to me, heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always, because you're my missionaries. They were convinced. You know, people usually don't desire to do this if they're not convinced that Jesus is Lord and Savior of the world. They're not going to go to all nations. They're not going to have that type of desire if you're not convinced. In order to be a missionary, a disciple of Jesus, you must be fully convinced, and I emphasize the word fully. convinced. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, this convinced missionary, Paul. And anyone can be a missionary. You just got to be convinced. Paul, the one that was stopped on Damascus Road in Acts 9, we'll pick up in verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. He's like, imitate my missionary spirit. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it, you know, financially and in several ways. I don't say this out of need. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, a missionary is not hungry. A missionary is full. A missionary is full. A missionary is satisfied. A missionary gives out of his or her fullness. It is an overflowing of the cup. A missionary is not hungry. They're full. During adverse times, the missionary is hungry. Nope, he's full. She's full. During imprisonments, the missionary is full. Beatings, full. Paul learned the important lessons. Paul learned the secret and the discipline of contentment. Learning how to be free and satisfied and full. The hungry miss the mission. The full are satisfied. And they're missionaries. The hungry miss the mission. So a missionary is filled with God and desires to share because of the overflow. I became a missionary. Oh, before that, I was hungry. I was hungry for popularity, acceptance. I was hungry for a lot of material things. And when I made Jesus or saw him being Lord and Savior, and I was fully convinced, I got baptized in 1985, went right from here to Chipola to play baseball at Mariana. I was full. I was full. I mean, I went to church and the whole church, they were white and they were old. I don't have anything against being white and old, okay? I know. Fill up. But I mean, I thought all churches were going to be like ours. Diverse. 60, 70 college students. All ages, all races, backgrounds, and they were all white. But I was full. So I'm sorry, there was one sister, she was a black sister, she was 88. I mean, she could have been, you know, 50, but she looked 88 to me. I was only I know I'm going backwards. I was full. I didn't see it. I saw them as my brothers and sisters in Christ. I didn't know, but four scriptures. I was in an athletic dorm, and something moved me. I guess it was because I was full that I said, wow, these kids or these my peers need to know who I know. And so I said, can we have a Bible study in the dorm lobby? There was an athletic dorm, the women and men, and the lobby met together. I said, can we have a Bible study on Tuesdays? I'll lead it. They said, sure. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew who I was doing it for. So I said, well, yeah, let's turn to Ephesians. And we would read the word, and I would share with them what I'm learning. And because I was full, three young men became Christians that year because of just God filling me. And I don't even know who became Christians later that were a part of the baseball team. All I know, I was planting and watering the best I knew how. And I was guarding my purity. And I was trying to be a godly athlete. And man, it was the greatest opportunity I'd ever had. I'd never been an ambassador before. Never felt like I was representing anybody but myself. But I was full. Came back to FAMU. We were in the campus ministry, and our three campus ministers left and moved to New York. I've forgiven them. They moved to New York. And we were in this campus ministry. Me and Greg and Leon and John Cooper and Willie, we didn't know what to do. But we just knew who we were doing it for. And so we got in the dorm rooms. We said, hey, man, let's have a Bible study. People became Christians. And it wasn't because of us. It was just because we were full. We couldn't help but speak. And then Russ Yule and Sam Lang came in the summer of 1988 and said, we would love for you to go to Boston to train, along with two others from this church, to go on a team to Miami. I said, a team? What kind of team? A mission team. I'm like, wow. What does that mean? I was a senior in college. My mother said, you better, your mission is to finish and graduate. That's your mission. I said, Mama, I got another mission. She said, yeah, we're paying for this one. So I said, it's only going to be for a year. I'm going to go back and finish up. But I want this opportunity to go. And so I go up to Boston, and I'm from Tallahassee, and it was cold, it was fast, it was furious. But I was full. And I said, I want to learn all that I can to help people know God. And so went up to Boston for a year, trained, came on down to Miami, and we were training, and it was like, okay, you're going to Miami. Understand the culture. Understand the people. Fall in love with the city. We fell in love with the city before we got there. We tried to understand the city. Why? Because that's what missionaries do. And we weren't full-time. And it was amazing. Got there, went on the campus, overflow. Then I was an intern and met my wife, Carlin, soon-to-be wife, Carlin. And you know what? When you're full, you look for others who are full. Especially if you want to spend the rest of your life with them. And I met a full sister. Because she had the love for people like I did. I said, I love this woman's love for God and love for people. Oh, we could be missionaries. And I don't mean going to Africa. I'm talking about right where we were. She came down to Miami. We dated, got engaged, got married. And then we couldn't have children. But see, when you're full, you still reach out. Then I got fired from being an intern. And a lot of times in the ministry, when you're fired from being an intern, you're like, you're fired from God. I wasn't ready. I wasn't mature enough. But instead of just going and, you know, sulking and sitting on a couch, I said, I'm still full, though. I still need to share what God has done for me. So Carla and I, we had a married Bible talk. We were leading campus. And we led a married discussion group, a married life group. And we helped people become Christians. I was working at HRS as a counselor and helped a coworker become a Christian. Why? Not because it was my duty. It was my mission because I was full. Then we were in the ministry together. In 1994, we were in the ministry together. And we've been in the ministry ever since. Became evangelists. We had trials, challenges, but we still remained full. And then we decided to move here to a place I knew. Because we're missionaries. We want to help. So practically, a missionary makes every decision in their lives based on how it will bring or they will bring others to God. It's your mission. It's who you are. It's what you do. It's not about you being hungry. It's about you being full, wanting to help others. Now, there is a difference. Even though they're similar, they seem similar, but it's the difference between a missionary and a mercenary. You see? See, a mercenary is a person concerned with making money at the expense of ethics, one that serves merely for wages, one that serves to benefit themselves. Jesus in Matthew's gospel shares that the gate of salvation is narrow and not many will get in, only a few will find it. And that's very scary. He warns about false prophets in Matthew and says that you can recognize false prophets by their fruit or lack of. Then he describes a mercenary in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. They were unaware. Why is this scripture a bit frightening? Yes. And that's so true, Candace. And I appreciate your honesty. We can start off being missionaries, doing it for God. And then something slips on in and we start doing it for us. It no longer becomes his mission, it becomes our mission. For our gain or entrance into the kingdom or popularity or position or whatever. We can easily do that. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Yeah. 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 Yeah, you know, we have this deep concern of us not making it. But when we look at what Jesus did for us to make it, there's a great confidence that can happen. And then what happens is we start filling that cup. Not because of what I say or somebody else says or what they do to you or what, but it's because of this. And what you're doing is so good. You're filling up with him. We're going to have trials. We're going to have temptations. But when you go back to him, you stay on his mission. Yes, Jenny. Wow. Yeah. It's so easy to slip into it, to being religious and not relational in nature. Yes, Joe and the Coopers. Knock it out. That sums it up. That's what scares me most about this scripture. They didn't even recognize it. I mean, read it. Lord, didn't we do this? I mean, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons and many miracles? They were unaware. They were unaware. Joe. That's right. You know, and let's be honest, I mean, for those of you who are new to our church, we really emphasize and celebrated, and rightly so, someone becoming a Christian. People coming out and studying the Bible, that was a great celebration, but it's not the most important celebration. The celebration is when you fill up with him and let it overflow. Because what happens is that if you're a mercenary and have a mercenary spirit, when things come, you're doing it for your own, no matter what. Well, when things come up, you kind of just stop. And I know we're all challenged with it, that we get too busy, and yet it doesn't become a filling up. It becomes we're hungry after something and we miss the mission. A couple others, yeah. That's right. Yeah, continue to make you. And I'm so glad we don't have cliques in this church. Well, let me. We're human. And so the only way we can avoid that is to fill up. One more, Lynn. Yeah. Wow. We'll close out with that. Y'all go home. Woo, that's powerful. Here are some questions from an article describing a mercenary minister. Okay, here are some questions. Let's put that on the board here. Do you only serve in a formal capacity so that others will recognize you? Do you only sporadically pray for people you minister to? Do you limit your service to your assigned ministry? Do you get easily discouraged when people don't recognize your efforts? Uh-oh. Do you only show up when needed? Woo-hoo-hoo. For instance, are you most faithful when you teach, but consider other times optional? Do you turn away from ministries that would inconvenience you? For instance, if It requires waking up early or sacrificing watching a ball game. Turn that page. Do you minister to gain something? Whether money, food, friends. Do you complain if you did not build the desired relationship while serving in a ministry? You have this fantasy of what it would be, just like many of the 12 did. Do you desire to be in charge? Are you more satisfied with a smooth program than with spiritual growth? Do you grieve over the failures of others in the ministry because it makes you look bad, rather than because it grieves God? Do you take shortcuts in those parts of the ministry not seen by others? Do you only sacrifice when it will benefit you or when the lack of sacrifice might tarnish others' perceptions of you? Do you never want to take on more ministry, believing that what you do is enough? Are you legalistic in your service? If I give such and such amount of money, I am giving enough. If I spent so many hours in the ministry, I am doing enough. Do you think it unreasonable for others to ask for more and look down on others who do less? I want to close by asking each of you a question. If we were to divide this group in half, like kind of like it is now, the missionaries over here, you're the missionaries. Doug says, thank you. And over here, you guys are the mercenaries. Okay, this is just pretend, illustration, okay? Don't take it personal. If we divide it up, which side would you sit on? In reality, which side would you sit on? Missionary? Mercenary. Now, some of you are like, but I'll be right in that middle row where there is none. I know what you're thinking. I'm kind of in the middle. No. Now, you can start off being a missionary and get hungry, miss the mission, and become a mercenary. Where do you sit today? Right now. Now, the good news about God is that you can repent. Change your mind. Change your priorities, change your heart, and become the missionary that I believe God wants us to become. Remember, a missionary is one who is convinced and is full. Maybe you need to get to know Jesus so that you can be convinced and faithful. If you don't know Jesus like this, if he's not overflowing in your heart and in your mind and in all that you do, then perhaps you need to consider to get to know him, because he's wonderful. He's amazing. He's amazing. Now, perhaps you need to be convinced again. I think every day we need to be convinced again. Remember, the hungry miss the mission. The full overflow and our missionaries. Jesus prayed for us to fill up. The hungry miss the mission. Brothers and sisters and friends, don't miss it. Stay full. Amen. God bless. Have an awesome day.